Welcome to Traveling Culturati, where we explore cultures and share travel news, travel tips, destinations, and travel chats. Visit TravelingCulturati.com for more information.
Well, hey there, fellow Culturati. Javon Harley here, your host and travel pro for Traveling Culturati. I want to welcome you back to another week of travel news, travel tips, and of course, some travel chats. But before we get started with anything, make sure you go to TravelingCulturati.com and make sure you join the travel club. We're going to Japan. We're winding down with the sales there, so we're almost sold out with our rooms. So if you're thinking about it, it's time to make that decision. We are going May 26th through June 5, and also to Peru this summer. Yes, Machu Picchu, Lima, an Afro-Peruvian experience. That's going to be August 15th through the 25th. Again, you got to join the travel club if you want to be a part, but you can also go to TravelingCulturati.com and check it out. Well, today, executive producer and co-owner of Advantage International, Gene Harley, joins me with all news and hot topics today because there's a lot happening in the travel industry and we want to make sure that you are in the know. Yes, we are discussing top news stories of the month and what's on the minds of travelers. We'll also have Javon's Travel Minute and, of course, the Culture Report. So let's get into it. Welcome back, Gene. It's been a while.
Thank you, Javon. It's good to be back.
Yes. Well, you've been traveling a lot.
Yeah, 6 weeks on the road. I had to get a haircut.
Yeah, your hair was a little long when you came back. So through your journeys, you went to Ghana first, then you did South Africa, and stayed in South Africa.
Stayed in South Africa. That was so tough, I'm telling you folks. I have to stay for the summer in South Africa when it's winter at home. I really enjoyed myself, and it was great to have two different programs and allow so many people to experience South Africa. It's a trip with lawyers and judges, and they really had a great time.
Yeah. You know what? I get asked this question a lot. I don't know if you do, but people ask when we're on the trip and also planning. It's like, oh, this isn't exciting for you. I know you've done this 1,000 times. And I said, you know, the interesting thing is I get to experience it, or when I witness other people experience it and how they respond to it and their excitement and their joy and their emotions that are tied into it, right. I get enjoyment out of that.
That's right. That's the main thing. 25, 26 years of doing this and 25, 26, 27 years of going to South Africa, 60 sometimes perhaps, I still get excited when I see it through other people's eyes.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. Well, let's talk about what's happening. And, you know, we always have to talk about these people that lose it on board airplanes. And there was an Emirates passenger recently riding in business class who found himself hogtied aboard the plane after he headbutted a flight attendant.
Yes.
So in the business class section, where you typically expect people to be a little chill, first of all, you got a nice seat. I kind of cocoon in my little cubby.
That's right.
And half the time, I don't know what's going on. But drunk passenger was recorded headbutting flight attendant. A Pakistani journalist, Amir Mateen, posted the footage from the incident on X. I still call it Twitter, but X. Quoting a terrified passenger saying, "Drunk guy, extremely violent." He was restrained and handcuffed by the Emirates crew that he thinks that the authorities let him go as he was well connected. What do you think about that?
It's sad that he was let go. In seeing these incidents, it really is frightening because you're on an airplane and there's limited space. And yes, they can't get into the flight cockpit, but within the cabin, I want somebody who's acted up to be arrested. Yeah. That's just my feeling on that. Alcohol is too freely made available, and we need to do it. So they've got him handcuffed into one of the portable wheelchairs that they have on the plane. And it's nice to see that those restraint cuffs, the plastic ones, are there. And he should have been kept until he was sober and still then charged. And he should be on a no-fly list.
And those plastic cuffs are the zip ties, aren't they?
Yes.
Those things hold pretty good.
Yeah. Although, sad to say, there is a trick that's been posted on the internet for quite some time on how to break those.
Ah, well, let's
And I'm not going to discuss that.
Yeah, we won't. We won't discuss that. But, you know, just very quickly, again, violent airline incidents are on the rise. In November, a man on Southwest was hospitalized after opening the cabin door and jumping on the wing before takeoff. And, you know, a lot of these things have to do with alcohol.
That's right.
And in some cases, people are taking drugs before they get on the plane.
That's right.
The other thing is that so many people are on the edge. They really are. And flying can be stressful sometimes with the wait times, the lines, delays, and crowded airports and all of these things. I just hope we get it together, or maybe we can recognize some things in the airports before people board planes.
Drugs and alcohol don't mix well. Alcohol is made available at 6 o'clock in the morning at many airports, and a lot of people are taking drugs to get through the flight.
Yes, absolutely. Well, there are some changes coming up with visa requirements. And I talked about this on one of our news stories some time ago about the power of the passport. And that means how many countries a passport can visit without having to get a visa. Well, there are some visa changes that are coming down the pike for U.S. travelers in 2024, starting with Brazil and beginning April 10th. Brazil is set to reinstate a visa requirement for all U.S. citizens traveling to their country. So previously, Americans did not need to take any extra steps when planning a Brazilian vacation, but it's no longer the case. The new mandatory visa will cost U.S. citizens $80 or $81 roughly, though it will remain valid for a 10-year period. Now, Brazil used to have one that was for 5 years. A lot of countries lifted those after the pandemic to increase travelers back in, but they have now reinstated that. Kenya also has announced that the country would no longer require visas for all international travelers. They then had to delay that process, but there was an extension of the policy announced in October in 23 as well. So that's going to be coming up. And so a fully visa-free Kenya, that's exciting, I think.
Definitely, because many of the great parks for the migration of animals are in Kenya or nearby Tanzania. And to fly in and out of Kenya without a visa is a great opportunity.
Absolutely. And Turkey. So for years, American travelers were required to go through the visa process, paying $51, yes, just to visit Turkey. Fortunately, in 2024, that's no longer the case. According to the country's official tourism agency, Turkey saw a massive influx of American tourists in 2023, with U.S. travelers making up the fourth largest group of foreign visitors. So as of now, any American visiting the country can now take advantage of the new visa-free travel rules as long as they stay under 90 days. So yeah, exciting. It's That's always right. exciting when you can just present your passport and go.
Yeah, and people don't understand that the U.S. passport is not the most widely accepted passport in the world. It's far from it. So having a visa in there, it's billy because it's reciprocal, because we charge and we make people go through so much to visit the United States. A lot of people, Americans, will say bravo, but it hurts us when we try to travel.
Yes, last week I talked about why the U.S. has really fallen as a top travel destination.
Yes.
And that's because in some cases it's taking people 400 days.
That's right.
For the visa process.
That's right.
And no, we complain no if travel. We don't get it back in a week.
Oh, yeah. And if we have to visit somewhere, or if we have to send it, we don't want to go to that country. But you wouldn't believe, even when we were in Ghana and other places, the line for people trying to visit from some of these countries in Africa and then from the Southern Hemisphere to the United States can take a year or more.
The average is 400 days.
That's
the average.
Right.
So some people are waiting years.
That's right.
To get a visa approved.
And then you're planning a trip that may not be for years, and you can't even buy an airline ticket. No. You don't even know what it's going to cost and when you can get it.
That's right. Well, once again, Finland is the happiest country in the world. Or should we say, instead of the happiest country, they have the fewest unhappy people
within their country. That's
yes.
Right.
But for the seventh year in a row, they are listed. So the World Happiest Report was released. This was for 2024 for the ranking of happiest countries. And as he said, for the seventh year in a row, Finland has landed at the top spot. The countries are ranked according to self-assessed life evaluations and That's answers right. to what's called the Cantrell ladder question, which asks respondents to think of a ladder with the best possible life for them being a 10 and the worst being a 0, and then rate their current lives on that scale. Yeah, so the Well-Being Research Center at the University of Oxford, which publishes the report, says that in addition to using the Cantrell ladder question, the report also considers 6 variables in the more than 130 countries that were ranked in the report: the GDP per capita, social support, healthy life expectancy, freedom, generosity, freedom of corruption. So these are the criteria that they're looking for. And the number 2 spot that came in was Denmark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another country in that region, easily between the two countries. And look at Iceland.
Yeah.
Is in that group too. Sweden, all these countries, the Netherlands, they're all in the top 10. Norway, Luxembourg, Switzerland.
Yeah, the United States didn't make the top 10.
Okay, I'm sorry, folks. We're laughing here. But, you know, this is ranked by the people within the country. And I don't think a lot of people will rank the United States as the top place for happiness.
Yes. Well, the Finnish people's strong sense of community is further proven by what's also called the OECD Better Life Index, which states that 96% of the people believe they know someone they can rely on in their time of need. And the country also has a high ranking because of its equality and sense of responsibility for social welfare. Because, for example, for Finland, health care is taken care of.
That's right.
Child care is taken care of.
Free education. Social well-being is a big element within that, as you already stated, not just GDP. And also, these top countries, most of them have populations of under 15 million, 20 million. A lot of these countries within this list are, except for Australia, populations less than 10 million.
Yeah, but taking care of your people
That's right.
Having that sense of community are the top things. Now, some people complain, look, these places pay 40 to 50% of their income in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
They get it back.
We do too.
That's right.
Because we don't pay it in taxes, but we pay it in social care that we need.
Health care, legal care.
Actually, we pay more.
We pay more. We pay for sales taxes. You know, it's amazing to me that when I go overseas, that when something is $9.99 or whatever, that's what it costs. Whereas there is no local tax, food tax, liquor tax, whatever like that. These items are included in there. And that leads to a happier lifestyle because you're getting more for what you're paying for. So, yes. It's taken out at the front end, but after that, everything else is included.
But think about when it's taken out at the front end.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably less stressful.
It is. It really is, because you can calculate what everything else in your life costs.
Yeah.
Now, yes, there still is instances where you can pay for private care, private education, or whatever like that. But you can build that into your budget. You have an understanding. A lot of people go to these countries because they can get advanced education, healthcare and other things, even from wealthier countries, but it's included for everyone.
That's all we have for travel news. And when I come back, Gene Harley and I will continue our conversation with more news and hot topics, including the current safety incidents with Boeing and United Airlines.
This is Traveling Culturati. We explore cultures and destinations. We share travel news and travel tips to keep you well informed and prepared for your next travel adventure. So go ahead and up your travel game with Traveling Culturati. Visit travelingculturati.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm your host and travel pro, Javon Harley. Head on over to the website, travelingculturati.com, and make sure you join the travel club. Yes, coming up in 24, we have Japan in May, and we have Peru in August. And we're working on some other destinations for the rest of 24, and we're already working on 2025. So make sure you join the travel club. Again, go to travelingculturati.com.
And now, Javon's Travel Minute.
If you travel, or if you're even thinking about travel, You may want to make sure that you get a credit card that's going to work for you and help you get to travel rewards a lot sooner. So here are some things that you'll want to consider in deciding on a travel credit card. One, decide if it's going to be a co-branded or a general travel credit card. Secondly, look at the rewards and the welcome bonuses. They can really add up. Look at the annual fees and check out a credit card spender type tool. This will help you identify what's going to be the best card for you based on you, based on your spending habits. This is Javon, and that was your Travel Minute. Well, Jean, you and I, we kind of work together as a couple, obviously. But when I say that, I mean in what cards we have.
That's right.
And we're always thinking travel. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about what it means. Decide between a co-branded card versus
yes.
a general travel credit card.
And that's an important factor now because co-branded cards are ones like Delta Sky Miles with American Express. You have cards that are tied into hotels, that are tied into like Hilton Honors Program, airlines. But you have co-branded cards now for everything mm-hmm. from stores, from Amazon. Everybody has them. There's benefits. And if you're into travel, you want to look through and decide and compare which one is going to give you the best one versus a regular travel card like American Express. Remember the old days, Carte Blanche, Diners Club,
right.
all those different
those
ones.
Those are the general travel credit mm-hmm. cards. Mm-hmm. So it's a regular credit card, but these are the credit cards that have travel forward rewards.
That's
they have
right.
other rewards, but
that's
they also
right.
have travel forward rewards. And that's going to be your standard, like American Express, your Chase Sapphire. And there are some that are better than others. So that's very important. But one of the most important things is instead of just saying, I want to get a travel reward card, whether it's co-branded or a general one,
card, yes.
is to look at the overall rewards,
that's right.
how they're going to benefit you, and those welcome bonuses. I wouldn't sign up for any card unless it was giving me a welcome bonus.
And then you have to weigh that specifically against the fees, the annual fees and everything else in there to determine all the benefits you're getting. And this is where it becomes very complicated because the welcome miles and benefits are very important, but also a lot of people don't even pay attention to all of the benefits that they could have. Clear, TSA pre-check, lounge visits that cost hundreds of dollars
yeah.
every year.
Baggage fees.
And they say, well, there's a $95 versus a $495. Believe me, that $495 annual fee probably equates down to zero when you look at all the benefits.
Well, that's it. I mean, if you don't travel a lot, maybe you want to look at something that's going to be a $95 annual
that's
fee.
Right.
But if you take more than a few trips a year,
mm-hmm.
paying a $400, $500, even $600 annual fee, when you're talking about TSA pre-check, clear, global entry, maybe
baggage fees
or status
that's
on the
right.
airline where you don't have to pay for seats and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you will get that back in a year.
So let's just take the basic elements. If you're looking at Clear, that's $100 and some. If you're looking at TSA PreCheck and Global Entry, it's $150. If you're looking at lounge, access to a lounge can be $30 each time or $200, $300 a year. Baggage fee, $60 to $65. Seat selection, $20 to $25 every time you do a seat. If you travel more than two or three times a year and internationally, I don't care what the fee is. If it's $500,
right.
you've made it back. Now, you mentioned a very important factor that we need to look at, the bonus miles you get just for joining the program. If it's 60, 80, 100,000, that's two free airline
right.
tickets.
Or a room night.
Or a room yeah. night in a hotel.
Yeah.
That could be $200 or $300 in itself, or it could be $1,000
right.
of saving.
Yeah, so you still may be wondering, how do I pick the right card or the best card for me? Now, there's something called spender type tool, and you can add four credit cards. So if you put that in your search, spender type tool for credit cards, there are several out there where they're going to ask you questions about your spending habits.
That's right.
So for example, if you're a foodie, then that means you're eating a lot at restaurants, you're dining out a lot. Then they're going to tell you what types of credit cards are going to be best for you and how you can quickly earn miles based on restaurants. If you are a jet setter, if you're budget conscious, Now, here's the other thing to know, and this is something that the Spender Type tool will ask you as well. What is your credit score?
That's right.
Because that's going to make a big difference in the type of card that's going to be applicable to you.
Yeah, those people who are huddling around 800 plus can get any card you want. But if you're 500 or 600, you may not. And you may be getting a higher interest rate and you may not even be able to get that type of card. So the traveler's card or the co-branded card, it's an important factor. But looking out for your score is very important.
It certainly is.
A good score takes you a long way.
You know, one of the very, very hot topics that I wanted to talk about, airplane safety,
yes.
Flight safety,
mm-hmm.
because we've had several incidents with Boeing. We know the Boeing 737 MAX 9 and the grounding. Those planes are still grounded, and
yes.
airlines that had a lot in their fleet are now suffering with a shortage. United mm-hmm. Airlines is one of those, and we'll talk about them in a minute. But the ongoing problems with Boeing 737 MAX, and I've done several stories over the last few months that have come out about it, but it's worthy of really talking about it so that you can consider what you should know, why were the planes grounded, and what is available to you.
That's right.
So let's first talk about why the planes were grounded. So the Federal Aviation detailed the process that the airlines must follow with inspections. But starting with Alaska Airlines grounded all 65 of its MAX 9 jets within hours after one of the two plugs or door plugs in the back half of the cabin blew away at 16,000 feet. Yes, that happened. So this door plug is kind of like a retrofitted airplane.
That's right.
Where there was a door there,
mm-hmm.
or there was supposed to be a door there.
Yes.
But they decided not to have a door there and add a row of seats
there.
That's
right.
So they had to seal that door. And so that's what we mean by the door plugs.
You know, from the outside, it looks like there is a door there, but there isn't. It's a covering one here. And this dates back to the fact that Airbus came out with the 320, 321 Neo, and Boeing was caught sort of shorthanded. They needed a new plane to compete. And they took the 737 fuselage and they redesigned the program and they put together the 737 MAX and the MAX 9. And it came out, and a lot of people are now looking back and saying, this was not a good idea. It's not a good design. They've had to fix a number of things. You've been talking about the 737 MAX 9 for a couple years now. And this latest incident has grounded a lot of them and has a lot of people concerned about them.
Yeah, fortunately for the Alaska Airline incident, that really brought light to the problem.
Yes.
And was the catalyst for the grounding of the MAX 9s.
Thank
fortunately,
God, everybody
no
was,
one was sitting in those two seats.
And also,
right there,
it was
yeah.
still on the ascent.
Yes,
everybody
it
had their seatbelts on.
Feet yet.
Everybody had
yes.
their seatbelts on.
Now, there are only two U.S. airlines that operate this particular model of the Boeing 737, and that's Alaska Airlines and United
right.
Airlines.
Mm-hmm.
So what's being done about it? The FAA is requiring airlines to conduct detailed visual inspections of the door plugs and other components. They have to adjust fasteners and fix any damage they find before putting MAX 9s back into service.
Mm-hmm.
The agency says that the process was developed, but what they learned from inspecting 40 grounded planes. United, the other airline, says that the process involves removing an inner panel, two rows of seats, and a sidewall liner from the cabin. Technicians open the door plug, inspect it, and the surrounding hardware, and make any necessary repairs before resecuring the panel.
Yes. So the 737 MAX, the 8, the 9, all of the 737 MAXs have had incidents. MAX 8, as you know, some deadly ones. So these are things that need to be checked, and the FAA inspectors cannot be Boeing paid inspectors, which has been another complaint about Boeing, which we'll talk about more later.
Yes. So another question, are air travelers canceling flights on 737 MAX 9 planes?
Mm-hmm.
Alaska airline officials said they have lost a few sales amongst people purchasing flights into February. This, of course, is when it occurred, a phenomenon called booking away in the airline business. So at the time, they didn't know how many people had booked away from the MAX 9, but they predicted it would only last for a few weeks, but it's still ongoing. It's a more lengthy process than they really thought. So travelers returned to the Boeing 737 MAX 8 after two of them crashed in 2018 and 2019 that killed 346 travelers. In that case, Boeing had to redesign an automated flight control system before the FAA would let MAX 8s and MAX 9s resume flying after a 20-month grounding. Remember those? It was right after takeoff, and it was because they hadn't been properly trained to make certain adjustments.
To read the sensor.
Yes.
Yeah, the sensor on the outside. One sensor that could, a Mylar balloon could have broken it off, basically caused the plane to go rise up, stall, and then crash. And that's what happened.
Alaska Airlines saying they thought that it would take a few weeks. But if you look at this incident, that took 20 months of grounding. And this book away, you really have to look at the airline itself to see if that airline has other aircraft that they're replacing or putting in where they had MAX 9s. Because MAX 9s have been grounded. So if they had them before, they cannot put them in. But you brought up a point when you and I were just discussing our topics today that there's something that people are confusing, and that's the 737-900s and the MAX 9s.
Yeah, it used to be that for the MAX 9 and 737-900, the code looked almost the same, 737-9. Now it says 737 MAX 9 versus 737-900. They're not the same plane, but you want to know this information because if you're afraid of flying or do not want to fly on a MAX 9 or a MAX 8, look for that code. And you can ask and you can see it when you're looking up your flight. Too.
Yes. That's one of the questions that people are asking. How can I tell the type of aircraft that I'm booked on? So when you're looking at a flight on the website, you click on details. Some airlines just list everything right up front, but some, there may be an extra tab right under the flight number that says details. And you click on that and it'll tell you everything about that flight as far as the type of aircraft, the departure time, the arrival time, if it stops anywhere, how long the flight is, all of that type of information.
And the most important factor, it'll tell you what type of plane it is too. So you'll see the codes, A standing for Airbus 319, 320, 321, B for Boeing, or it just may say 737, 777, 789, 787. And you can see all the different things. So if you see 737 MAX 8 or 9, that's telling you about the planes we're talking about, the Boeing Series 737 MAX.
Well, the MAX 8 is no longer grounded.
That's
and
right.
They fixed all of those issues. So
they retrained the pilots.
Right. So what we're talking about now is the MAX 9. So another question is, what if I don't want to fly on Boeing 737 MAX 9? Well, again, they're grounded. Mm-hmm. So there shouldn't be any in the air.
Well, you just need to check and find out because there are still some listings that still show a MAX 9 on there. I was just on the United website earlier today, and from Chicago to Miami, there was one flight that says 737 MAX 9.
Maybe their flights
have already been cleared. Yes.
You're right. Mm-hmm. United told CBS News that it will allow passengers who don't want to fly on a MAX 9 aircraft to change flights without additional cost.
There you go.
And depending, of course, on seat availability. Alaska Airlines said that it still has flexible travel policy in place, which will allow passengers to rebook their flights for travel through February 9. So it really depends on the airline if they've reintroduced any of their MAX 9s, but in either case, they are allowing passengers. So again, that's something that you can check out.
That's right.
So the big, big, big question is flying safe.
Flying still is the safest way to get from point A to point B anywhere domestic and around the world. The number of people that fly every single day and the number of flights that take off and land, it is the safest form of transportation. I mean, we jokingly say you stand a better chance of hurting yourself getting out of the tub than you do flying on an airplane.
And one statement that is made is that it's much safer than driving also safer than rail travel on a per mile basis.
That's
and this
true.
Is according to the U.S. Department of Transportation figures. Something that was very interesting, and I did this news story last week, but I'm repeating it because we're talking about Boeing. There was a whistleblower with Boeing, a retired Boeing worker who told the truth in, I say truth in quotations, as a quality manager. And he was a critical witness, but unfortunately, he was shot and killed. And
apparent suicide
mm-hmm. in a vehicle that was parked in the parking lot of the hotel where he was doing his deposition. Boeing said it was saddened to hear about the death of their former colleague, but the timing of the death is strange, of course. It happened while he was staying at the hotel, going through depositions on what he witnessed when he worked for Boeing. So some of the issues that are plaguing Boeing are people like the whistleblower and the things that they brought up and the things that he says he witnessed while working there, the shortcuts that people were taking. And in the vein of staying current with technology and rushing things out.
In now, the speed of getting these planes ready and getting them out to the companies that bought them, like United and all these other ones. Yeah, the whistleblower brought forth that a lot of things were going on, right down to the fact that the inspectors by the FAA are paid by Boeing Airlines. It doesn't always make sense.
Well, no, but a review that was conducted in 2017 by the Federal Aviation Administration, which is the U.S. regulatory body, supported some of the whistleblower's concerns. His name is Barnett, John Barnett. But that report in 2017 supported it. Now, Boeing, however, refuted the allegations. Now, on to United. Now, in the case of United, some, they're kind of grouped in with the MAX 9s, but there are some other issues with United. And United Airlines CEO is telling customers that the string of incidents have sharpened their focus. And let me just run down some of the incidents that have happened over the past, over a month.
The last couple of months, since the beginning of this year.
A couple of months. So here's a timeline of some of the incidents, notable air travel incidents so far in 2024. Many of them are United Airlines. Not all are United Airlines, but a Japan Airlines Airbus A350 collided with a Japanese Coast Guard plane, resulting in a massive fire on January 2nd. On January 5th, an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 9, the mid-cabin door plug incident.
Yes.
That was on January 5. January 15, a Virgin Atlantic flight was canceled after passengers reported seeing bolts missing from the wing just before takeoff. January 24th, a Delta Airlines Boeing 757 lost a tire in Atlanta just before takeoff for Colombia. On February 6, United Airlines pilot reported stuck rudder pedals on Boeing 737 MAX 8 during a landing roll in Newark. February 8th, two JetBlue planes clipped each other while making ground maneuvers at Boston Logan International Airport. February 19th, a United Airlines flight from San Francisco to Boston, operated by a Boeing 757, diverted to Denver after the wing is damaged during the flight. February 27, United Airlines flight from Newark to Los Angeles diverted to Chicago over onboard security issues. February 28, an American Airlines Boeing 777 flying from New York to Madrid diverted to Boston after a crack appears in the windshield. Yes, I know you're laughing about that. An American Airlines Airbus A319 arrived in New York from Chicago with reports of smoke in the cabin.
And that was on February 29th. And we'll add February 29th, the flight from the United States to Cape Town on United Airlines was canceled because of a windshield technical issue. After 6 hours of sitting there on the runway waiting for it to be corrected, they gave up and canceled the flight.
Yes. March 4th, a United Airlines Boeing 737-900 experienced an engine fire shortly after takeoff. March 8th, passengers were evacuated after their United Airlines Boeing 737 MAX 8 rolled off a taxiway and onto the grass. Another incident on March 8th, a United Airlines flight from San Francisco to Mexico City was diverted to Los Angeles after an issue with the plane's hydraulic system March 11, 13 passengers on LATAM Boeing 787 were hospitalized after the aircraft made a sharp maneuver while flying between Sydney, Australia and Auckland, New Zealand. Boeing has since suggested that a malfunction with one of the cockpit seats may have contributed to the incident. And lastly, on March 13th, an American Airlines Boeing 777 landed safely in Los Angeles after blowing a tire during takeoff in Dallas.
It's very interesting because the story of March 11th with the 787 on its way from Sydney, Australia to Auckland, New Zealand, that one ended up being that perhaps the flight attendant brought in the tray of food and hit the button seat on the pilot seat, causing it to go forward while the pilot was still seated in it.
Yeah.
That was an interesting storyline that just came out about that. But the reason I interjected about the one on February 29th, because we had a group flying to South Africa, and because of that windshield incident, we had to work for 20 hours to get those people to South Africa.
Yeah, well, fortunately, the flight never took off.
No, thank God it didn't.
So because 40, of that
feet,
incident,
15 and a half
right,
hours.
The flight did not take off.
Yes.
But United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby sent a letter to customers acknowledging recent issues at the airline, stating, unfortunately, in the past few weeks, our airline has experienced a number of incidents that are reminders of the importance of safety. While they are all unrelated, I want you to know that these incidents have our attention and have sharpened our focus. The letter also included a pledge of action to increase safety at the carrier. They also added, our team is reviewing the details of each case to understand what happened and using those insights to inform our safety training and procedures across all employee groups. This is in addition to some changes that were already planned, including an extra day of in-person training for all pilots starting in May and a centralized training curriculum for our new hire maintenance technicians. So that's the statement that United Airlines put out. And, you know, we went to social media to see how everyone felt about it. And are these raising concerns for you as a traveler? Do you think about the airline that you're flying on? Do you pay attention to what's in the news about these incidents and which airlines it's happening on? And do you pay attention to or look up the aircraft type when you are flying? I know some people have an issue with smaller planes, the prop jets, but do people really look at the type of aircraft, for example, on a transatlantic flight?
I really don't think they do. I do know now more people are looking at elements such as the manufacturer. Is it a Boeing versus an Airbus? And now I think more people are paying attention to the type of plane. The 340s or 350s, 380s of Airbus versus the 787s and the 777 and the Dreamliners of Boeing. It's not just the comfort of the plane and the seat, but the history of the plane.
Absolutely. And there are some, because some of our travelers have made comments to us, and sometimes we select the airline and
that's
the flight
right.
as a group.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based on the destination or the origin or a combination or just availability, really.
Yes.
And some of our travelers have said, well, I usually fly XYZ
or
I tend to like this one more or that one more. So people do have preferences. But I think a lot of times the preference is really the airline.
And the service on that airline.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times now it's the quality of not just the service, but how well they maintain their fleet, like Emirates and other ones versus United and American.
Well, we'll continue the conversation. So if you want to check us out or if you follow us already on social media, chime in. Let us know your thoughts about it. And we'll continue the conversation on shows to come because I have a suspicion that we're going to still be talking about both Boeing and United and airline safety for some time now. We'll talk about safety as a Black traveler, but more specifically, as a Black female traveler, we often want to know destinations that are safe for especially solo Black women travelers. And so there is a poll that was done and a list of the 10 safest destinations for Black women in 2024. At the top of the list is Australia. And I find that Australia seems to be an overall easygoing destination.
Yeah, it is.
And we'll talk about what we mean by safe after we list the destinations. Ghana came in second, France in the top three, Japan. And again, Japan is an overall safe destination. United Arab Emirates, South Africa, Switzerland, Italy, Bora Bora, and Tanzania finishes up with the top 10. So yeah, I think as I was talking about earlier with Australia, all the times that I've been to Australia, it's been quite easy going. Cultural experience, the people and how they respond to Black travelers and making one feel welcome and safe.
Love to get everybody's opinion, your feedback on what you've experienced when you travel to any of these top 10 places.
Yeah. And I would certainly say those that I wholeheartedly agree with, Australia, yes. Ghana,
yes,
Japan,
oh yeah,
and United Arab Emirates, and of course, South Africa.
Our favorite.
And it's not that I disagree with Switzerland, Tanzania, Bora Bora,
no,
but those are the ones that I wholeheartedly agree with and have had stellar experiences at those destinations.
True.
That's it. But when I come back, we're going to have the culture report. So don't go anywhere.
This is Traveling Culturati. We explore cultures and destinations. We share travel news and travel tips to keep you well informed and prepared for your next travel adventure. So go ahead and up your travel game with Traveling Culturati. Visit travelingculturati.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Traveling Culturati. I'm Javon Harley, your host and travel pro. The website, travelingculturati.com, go ahead and check it out. And while you're there, follow us on social media and join that travel club. Culture is forever changing and reflecting what's happening in the society and with its people. It can be born from the arts, music, food, and sometimes politics and strife. This is the Culture Report. The culture of travel certainly is one of the things that changed due to strife. The horrific events that occurred on September 11, 2001 changed travel forever. It exposed the lack of security that was in place and the hijackers took advantage of. We have seen some new travel requirements and protocols put in place that I don't think are going away anytime soon. Prior to 9/11, there was a minimally manned security checkpoint. Boarding passes didn't have barcodes. IDs weren't checked. Anyone could go to the gate with or without a boarding pass. We kept our shoes and belts on, and the FAA allowed, listen to this, knives up to 4 inches in length on board an aircraft. As a matter of fact, TSA and DHS, we're talking about Transportation Security Administration and Department of Homeland Security, didn't even exist prior to 9/11. The FAA outsourced airport security to private companies and often to the lowest bidder. TSA and DHS were created in the aftermath of 9/11. TSA was formed to oversee security in all modes of transportation and completed federalization of security operations by the end of 2002. TSA became part of the Department of Homeland Security in March 2003, making up a quarter of the DHS workforce. DHS is headed by the Secretary of Homeland Security and headquartered in Washington, D.C., and it was created by the Homeland Security Act of 2002, which was signed into law by President George W. Bush. Now, we all know about the 311 rule now. Well, it was implemented September 2006. TSA banned all liquids in carry-on baggage in flights leaving from or coming to the United States. The enforcement of the requirement that various liquids and gels carried on a plane must be in an individual container of 3 ounces or less. That rule was imposed after terrorists in Britain tried to sneak liquid explosives in planes in August 2006. Also in 2006, when the TSA began to require that all travelers remove shoes so footwear could be screened for explosives at airport security checkpoints. Now, the TSA also began deploying more federal air marshals, including on international flights at that same time. It was December 22nd, 2001, when Richard Reid tried to ignite explosives explosives hidden in his shoes on a flight from Paris to Miami. As an immediate result of that, TSA began randomly searching people's shoes. But again, it wasn't until August of 2006 that it became a requirement that all travelers took off their shoes. Now, of course, we have TSA pre-checks, or some of us who are members or pre-approved for that can now keep our shoes and belts on. But any other travelers coming into or traveling within the United States must take their shoes off at the security checkpoint. And just as 9/11 changed travel forever, so has COVID. The new normal in travel means being well informed of each country's entry requirements and COVID protocols. And this also includes hotels and cruise lines. This includes completing a health form a set number of days before arrival at your destination, printed health form affidavits, proof of vaccination, proof of negative COVID test within a certain number of hours before arrival, and in some cases, even an app that will generate a QR code to allow entry into restaurants and museums while on board. I can say with my summer travels to Europe, I did see quite a few European travelers presenting their phone with a QR code that has all of their health information or travel health information. It's not your total health records, but whether or not you've had a vaccination, if vaccination is valid, also your negative COVID test, whether it's PCR or rapid. In the U.S. now allows for a rapid test, which means you can get the test a shorter time period before you depart. You can actually get it at the airport, but I would recommend getting it at least a day before so that you have the results and make any plans in the event you don't produce a negative test. And with that, understanding what those protocols are. So, for example, when we were in Croatia, their protocol was that you could take the rapid test, and if you produced a positive rapid test, you would then get the PCR test, which is a more accurate test. If that test came back negative, then you were good to go. If that test came back positive, you would then have to stay in the country because you wouldn't be able to produce that negative test to return to the United States. They would allow you to be retested every 3 days or so till you were able to produce a negative test. And from that point, it's a PCR test that they want you to take. Which brings me to my next point. You really have to plan for the possibility that you do not produce a negative COVID test, which is travel insurance. It's so important to have travel insurance now. It's almost a requirement. It's not mandatory right now. There are some countries, for example, Israel and Cuba, it is a requirement that you have travel insurance. And there are some other countries as well. But those are the two that I know of. But if you're not able to produce a negative COVID test, your test is positive, you have to stay in that country. Where are you going to stay? Some countries require that you stay in a state-run facility. Some hotels will allow you to stay there. So I think it's best to get the test right there at the hotel where you're already staying. Some of them have allocated or designated rooms specifically for COVID travelers. And there you can maintain your stay in a quarantine or quarantine yourself at that hotel in that room until you're able to produce a negative test. But that travel insurance will help cover for that expense. And a good travel insurance will help cover you if you get COVID before your trip as well. So if you're not able to travel because you tested positive for COVID, then it would cover you for your cancellation penalties or any non-refundable parts of your package or your trip. And then, as I just mentioned, while you're traveling for that extended stay, or even consider if you have to be hospitalized. So you're talking about the cost of the trip, the extension of your stay, hospitalization, if you have to be medevaced, if it's of a more serious situation. You might also want to consider cancel for any reason. However, read the restrictions very carefully, because most cancel for any reason must be purchased within a certain amount of time of you making your travel arrangements. And it's more expensive than standard travel insurance, and it doesn't pay out 100% of the total cost of your trip, usually anywhere from 65 to 75%, but still worth it. One thing is certain with COVID-19 and security threats. anything can change at any time, and maybe without notice. So be prepared. Traveling Culturati is traveling again, and we've got a fantastic lineup. You can see the entire schedule if you sign up for our newsletter. You can go to travelingculturati.com for more information and to book. I'm Javon Harley, the Traveling Culturati.
Ladies and gentlemen!
This is Traveling Culturati. We explore cultures and destinations. We share travel news and travel tips to keep you well informed and prepared for your next travel adventure. So go ahead and up your travel game with Traveling Culturati. Visit travelingculturati.com for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen!